here's an old song that I always said it kind of feels like circling the wagons and sitting around a campfire and talking about going home. I'm a poor wayfaring stranger, while traveling through this world below. There is no sickness, toil, nor danger in that bright land to which I go. I'm going there to see my mother. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm just going over Jordan. I'm just going over home. I know dark clouds will gather o'er me. I know my way is rough and steep, but golden fields lie out before me, where God's redeemed and a bit of sleep. And I'm going there to see my father. He said he'd meet me when I come. I'm just going over Jordan. I'm just going over home. I'm going there to meet my Savior, the one who shed his blood for me. Oh, I'm just going over Jordan. I'm just going over home. I'm just going over Jordan. I'm just going over home.
Well, sure. Excuse me. I've been asked to play a lot of weddings, and I've got another one coming up pretty soon. And I try to do my best. It's an honor to be invited to be part of such a special day. And I was invited at one point to be the best man in a wedding. And we were at a rehearsal for the thing, and somebody said, "Well, what if this happens, and what if that goes wrong?" And I said, "Look, y'all, it's a wedding, and we all want it to be beautiful, but there's going to be a little something happening here and there, and there's not ever going to be a perfect wedding." And I stopped and said, "Well, wait a minute, let me correct that. Yeah, one day there will be a perfect wedding."
Amen.
Not until then, but that one will be perfect.
Amen.
And my heart began to study on these things. And it seemed I could see it pretty clear. And boy, it was a good time. And this is a little song that came from that. It's been a long time coming. The angels have been staying. The bride stands ready.
now to be called away, waiting for the Father, seated on his mighty throne, to say, go and get your bride, son. Go and bring my children home. And a trumpet will be blowing all our cares away. Not one tear will be showing on that perfect wedding day. It's the oldest love story, but it can make your heart brand new. It's a gift. It's a gift, it's not borrowed, and it can never leave you blue. So humble your heart before the Master. Let's get on our knees and pray. Oh, get ready now to meet him on that perfect wedding day. And a trumpet will be blowing all our cares away. Not one tear will be showing on that perfect wedding day. You know the church is the bride. She was left here long ago. And though the world has come against her, she moves steady and slow. And her gown of white is spotless, and the veil that she wears, will be lifted in glory. Don't you want to be there? 'Cause the Savior will greet us with open arms that say, welcome home, my child, well done. Enter in and stay. And a trumpet will be blowing all our cares away. Not one tear will be showing on that perfect wedding day. Not one tear will be showing on that perfect wedding day.
I appreciated both of those good songs. I'd never heard the wedding song, but I've been to quite a few weddings in my years, and I have had the privilege to do one. And as the bride come through, they was outside, and as she come through the opening of the tent, I thought, she's the prettiest woman that I've ever seen in my entire life. She was dressed in all white, and she was just as pretty as she could be. And I thought at that moment, I thought about the church and how pretty she's going to be on that day. I think about the bride from time to time, and I've been to a lot of wedding ceremonies, and I believe that people try to make them just as pretty as they can be. They have the best flowers, have the best singers, they have the best clothes on that they can have, they have the best food that money can buy. but the day that the Lord marries his church, that's going to be a special day. I just wish every one of us could just imagine, and I don't think there's a fiber within us that could imagine the beautiful whites that will be there. The church is going to be pure, and I'm going to be a part of that wedding day ceremony. I don't know that I'll get to be in the bride. I hope that the Lord allows me to be in the bride, but oh, even if I'm just sitting in the congregation, just watching it happen, I'll know that it's the best thing that I've ever witnessed is that marriage ceremony. I'm thankful that I'll get to be there, and I know that I'll get to be there someday. Well, I'm thankful for that good song. Does anybody else have anything on your heart this morning before we go any further? Anything at all? Lord, help. Lord, help. Lord, help. Lord, help. Lord, help. Bless you, Sister Nita. Amen. Amen. Bless your heart. He did. Amen. Amen. Appreciate this morning from Sister Nita. There'd be another word on your heart this morning. Anything at all, this is his service. It's not mine. I do want everyone to take a yellow songbook if you've got one around you. And we're not going to sing another song, I promise. But I just want you to take a yellow songbook. And what Sister Nita has talked about kind of fits right along with what my thought is this morning. And I promise I won't try to worry your patience too long. But I just want you to look at it. It's a yellow songbook. We've been taught all of our lives that things that have a lot of paper in them that are situated such as this is a book, or in our case, we call it a hymnal, a songbook. But I just want you to keep this in mind. You can feel it. You can touch it. I hope you don't taste it. I don't know that it has a distinct smell to it, but it is something that you can reach out. You can feel that it has a definite touch to it. It has a definite being. It's definite. There, it's there. There's no way that you can tell me that songbook is not there. It is there. And I want you to turn with me this morning to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I'll give you just a moment to turn there. But I want you to keep this psalm book in mind today. And I promise I'm not preaching about psalm books, but I just want you to keep that in mind. It's something that we have that we can all feel and have in our hands today. We can touch it and know that it's there. But as I was coming down here this morning and thinking about this thought, I thought about the psalm book for some reason and just how we could all touch it, how we could all feel it. And I want you to think about that this morning as we try to preach in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews in the first verse. And it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And I want you to skip down with me to the 6th verse. And it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And as our thought this morning, and we sing a song from time to time, and the title of it is Living by Faith. And I want you to think about that this morning. And if I could title that as my sermon this morning, it is Living by Faith. And I want you to think about the first verse that we read. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And as I preached to you last Sunday about our God is not like any other God, our God is greater than any other God, I thought about how there's a lot of things that we lack in our lives and how there's a lot of times that we forget that faith is one of the greatest things this world will ever know. And I want you to think about the night that, or the day that the Lord saved your soul. And I believe we can read over in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and the 8th verse. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is by grace through faith." The first time that a person ever exercises faith is the day that he trusts and believes in God as his Savior. That is the first time that a man, a woman will ever believe, they'll ever have faith, is the day that they believe in Jesus Christ. Without faith, there will never be salvation. That is the first time that we ever in this world exhibit faith. And I think about a lot of times how people will say, "Well, I have faith in this, or I have faith in that, or I have faith in this person, or I have faith in that person." And that's a good thought. That's very comforting. But I believe that if you have put your faith in somebody else, you're a lot of the times going to be upset. You're going to be disappointed because people will let you down. But God will never let us down. If we put our faith and our trust and our hope in God, He will always see us through anything and everything that we come in contact with. I told you that people say, "Well, I have faith in you," or I believe that we should say, "I have confidence in people," because I have confidence in some people and I don't have a lot of faith in people because people will let you down. But my faith rests in the Lord, because God has never broken a promise to me that He's ever made me. He's never let me down in this world. He's never left me anywhere where He wasn't with me. Every time He's ever taken me somewhere, He's always been with me. And I'm thankful that my faith can rest in someone like that. But it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now I want to ask a question this morning, and I don't believe one of you could raise your hand. How many of you have physically seen Jesus Christ? There's not one of us. None of us have ever physically seen Christ Jesus. We've never been able to do that. We talked in Sunday school about God and how He's always been. And that's hard for our feeble minds to wrap around. It's hard for us to think that God has always been there. But I want you to think about this verse. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is something that you cannot see, but you believe in. I know that this is a song book. I don't have faith that it's a song book because I know it. But I have faith that Jesus Christ is real, and I also know that He's real. You say, "Well, how can you know that? You never felt Him." Oh, yes, I have. Oh, yes, I have. The night that the Lord saved my soul, He became substance to me. He became something that was more real than anything in this world, and I'd never seen Him. Oh, but I felt Him. Oh, but I knew that He was real. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't have to see God to know that He's real. I don't have to have this sight, and people want to see everything. And people want to just have this vision. They want to be able to just look out and they want to see what God has told them to be the truth. But He tells us to have faith. Now, it's hard to have faith, ain't it? It's hard to put your trust in something that you've never seen. It's hard for when God says everything's going to be okay for us to believe it. Me and Sister Jean were having a conversation earlier this week about worry. Oh, if you want to meet the biggest worrier, ta-da, you found him. I worry about everything, the smallest things, the biggest things. I worry about everything. And I know that my faith should be stronger. My faith has got to be stronger. All of our faith, it's got to be stronger in the Lord, because as I've already told you, He's never broken a promise He's ever made me. Why is my faith weak? Because it's my fault. It's my fault that I don't believe more. And I don't want to make that sound bad, but it is my fault. Because I want you to know and understand something this morning. I told you, the first time we ever exercise faith is when God saves our soul. And oh, how I believe it is. But you want to know something this morning? You didn't even have enough faith in you to get saved. God had to finish that faith. God had to give you the extra faith to believe that He was the Son of God. But it says through faith. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen
were not made of the things which do appear. Now, I was not around when the world was formed. I wasn't alive when God formed the world in His hands. And I wasn't alive when He created all of the animals. And I wasn't alive when He made trees spring up from the ground. I was not alive when all of that happened. And people today want to refute what God's Word said and says, oh, it's not real. That can't happen like that. Oh, but I believe if we'll have faith and know and believe, and I believe you've been saved, you believe it through faith that God created the world just exactly as it come about in Genesis. As the Word of God reads and it tells us about the foundations of this world, I believe them to be true, but I was not there. Why is that this morning? Because I have faith in the One that created it. What does it say in verse 6? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, what have I already told you, he must believe. Believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And then it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, I know all of us know the story of Noah's ark. And we all know that the Lord came to him and He said, it's going to rain and you need to build an ark because the world is going to be destroyed by flood. You need to build this ark so that your family and anybody else that will follow you will be saved. They'd never seen a drop of rain. But what did Noah do? He got out there and he began to build that ark. Why did he do it? Because God told him to build that ark. I believe that he had faith in Noah, that Noah had enough faith in the Lord to believe that when God said something was going to happen, it was going to happen. So what did Noah do? He began to build this ark. And what did people say? Maybe if Noah lived in a residential neighborhood and he began to build that ark out in his front yard, people would drive by and say, look at old Noah building that stupid ark. Look at Noah. He says it's going to rain, and we've never seen it rain. He's building this big old boat for nothing. Nothing good is ever going to come of it. And you know what happened? It started to rain. People had turned away the gospel. They turned away this, but you know what? Noah's house was saved because Noah had faith, and they had faith enough to get on that boat and be saved. The old ship of Zion. You better get on the boat because it may never pass this way again. It may never come your way again. If you've been lost and undone without the Lord, you may never have another opportunity to seek Him and put your faith in Him for the salvation of your soul. But I want you to know what Noah had to do. I want you to think about that. Would any of us be willing to go outside this afternoon if the Lord came to us and said, you better start building the boat? Maybe it would be something simple, more simple than that. You need to go talk to this person. You need to pick up the phone and call this person. You need to go see this person. You need to go pray with this person. You need to sing that song. You need to testify. Maybe it's something like that. Maybe we think, sometimes we get small and we start thinking small things. We start thinking those things don't matter. Oh, those things matter. Just because it's not a big boat in our front yard don't mean that it does not matter to the Lord. When God gives us something to do, we should do it through faith. And know that the end result will be just exactly what God wants it to be. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Do we remember the promise that God made Abraham? God told him, he said, if you'll follow me, I will make your descendants more than the stars in the sky and the sands in the sea. Now, one of my favorite places to be is at the seashore. I love the ocean. I love to go visit. I love to get in the ocean and swim around. But If you ever picked up a handful of sand and maybe went back to the hotel room or wherever you were staying, well, there was just sand everywhere. You couldn't have begun to start picking apart those little pieces at all. But you know what Abraham was? Sarah was barren. She couldn't have a child. They'd done gotten up past the age where they could have children, the age where that people probably shouldn't have children. But they had the Lord passed by, and he told Abraham and he told Sarah, I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to do these things for you. And I want you to know what Abraham and Sarah probably thought. Really? You're going to do that for us? You're going to give us a child? You're going to make our descendants more than the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky? You're going to do that for us? And I want you to know that maybe at the beginning, Abraham just had very little faith. And we know through the scriptures that they stepped out on their own and tried to do things their way. Well, we know how that ended up and we know how it turned out. But God was still true on His promise. Why? Because Abraham followed Him. Now, Abraham had a lot of faults with him. He had a lot of things that he went through, and that's just like us today. We all have our problems with faith. We all do. There's not a one of us, and if you do, may God bless your soul. I'm thankful that you do have perfect faith. But I still don't have the perfect faith that I need to trust God on everything that He does. Not everything that He leads me to do. Do I say, Lord, I'm willing to go. Lord, I'm willing to do that. Are any of us willing to do that this morning? If God passed by us and said, Abraham, Sarah, you're going to have children. They're going to be all kinds of children. Would we believe Him? I don't think there's any one of us that would just immediately say, Lord, we know You'll do it. Because we have this body that we live in, which is the flesh. You know what flesh is? It always tries to go against what God says. We read about that in Sunday school. Talked about Paul, the good that I would do, I do not. Why is that? It's because of flesh. It's because of sin. It's because the devil and the things of this world, they try to knock our faith off these foundations. But I want you to know that he told them here, he said, she judged him. Who was she judging? She was judging the Lord, faithful who had promised. And so they followed the Lord and God kept His promise. Why is that? Because they had faith. They were living by the faith that God gave them. And then this verse, the 13th verse says, they all died in faith, not having received the promises. Abraham and Sarah never saw the multitude, the magnitude of the promise that God would give them. But they died in the faith. They knew that the promise that God had made, that He would fulfill it. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. And I want you to think about that this morning. When I was lost and when I was young, I heard people talk about heaven almost every time we went into church. They talk about how there was a place prepared for them, a beautiful place. And I believe Brother Mike's song goes with this beautifully. But I thought about, as he was singing, I thought about how someday I hope to get to heaven. And I want to explain that just a little bit. This hope that I have is not something that I wish to happen. It's a living hope. It's something that I know. That's where my hope rests, is in that other country. And you might say, you've never been to heaven. How do you know it's real? Because the Lord promised that when we left this world, He said, I go away to prepare a place where I am, ye may be also. That's comforting to me. Because He has a place prepared at the end of this life when our race here is run. Oh, when faith will end in sight. I want you to think about that this morning. We sing a song, Beulah Land. There someday my faith shall end in sight. In Corinthians it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by sight in this world. Brother Taylor might be able to tell you this morning what it's like not to be able to see very well. I have perfect vision in this life, but oh, I'm so thankful that I don't walk by the flesh. I walk by what God has given me. I walk by the faith that the Lord allows me to have. I can't imagine having to walk through this world without that faith. My faith is not sight, but someday my faith will become sight when I step off. It talked about that beautiful country. Oh, our faith will end in sight. We'll have a better place that we'll live for all eternity. Oh, someday when we get to heaven, this faith thing that we have, we'll no longer need it. We'll no longer need to live by faith because our faith will become sight when we see Jesus and we see the Lord sitting on the throne. And we see that bride being adorned, a bride for her husband. As the Lord marries His church, that faith will end in sight. We'll be able to see those things. We'll be able to know that they're real. Because we can see them, we won't have to wonder. We won't have to have faith anymore. Faith will be long gone. Faith will be long gone. There will be no more faith when we step off on that beautiful shore. And it says, but now they desire a better country, that is the heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. And they knew and they'd known about all these promises that God had made them, Abraham, Sarah, Noah, and Moses. If we'd go on a little bit farther, and all of the things that it talks about by faith that these people did. And I want you to know and understand that at the end of their race, and we're going to read over in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We're going to finish up the 11th real quick with the 38th verse. The 37th verse. That they were stoned, they were sown asunder. This is talking about people that followed the Lord and they died in faith and they died doing what God had asked them to do. And it says, they were stoned. They were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the word. They were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We're going to go into the 12th chapter here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want you to know and understand something this morning. The people that we've read about and talked about a little bit this morning, they didn't have it easy. They didn't have some of the luxuries that we have today. There were times and they died very brutal deaths. We can read about some of the things that they went through, some of the horrible torments that they had to endure for being in the faith, for being standing for the truth, for standing for the old paths that people didn't want to take anymore. But you know why they kept on going? You know why they kept the faith? It is because they loved the Lord and wanted to see His cause go on. They wanted to see the faith of the old-time Baptist church, and it wasn't the old-time Baptist church then, but what it has become is the old-time missionary Baptist church. That is the faith that we are today. We hold that title as old-time missionary Baptist, but oh, someday those things will pass away also. There'll be no need for the missionary Baptist title anymore. There'll be no need for those things. But they died in the faith. They had faith and knew that what God had promised them, He let them know, and I believe He lets all of us know that nothing we ever do will be easy in this world. But He has a better place, a better promise for us someday when we leave this world. It says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. God has made a better thing for us. A place called heaven where a beauty, and we've already talked about it, and I'm thankful that God has provided that for us. I'm thankful that even though I'm unworthy, that someday because He promised me, because He saved my soul, because of my faith in Jesus Christ, oh, I have a better place to go when I leave this world. The 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter, in the 13th verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, But the things which are not seen, they are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, if this earthly body is dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And then I want to read just a few more verses, and we'll try to close up with what we have here. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And this is where it comes in, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that we may present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. I've watched a few people. I've been in the room, I've been close by when people have left this world. And they have crossed into eternity, and there's been some, and I've heard of some, and they have talked about the agony of death. And I've talked, and the ones that I knew that were saved, the ones that were saved, oh, it was so peaceful when they got to leave. It was peaceful when they could step out on that faith that they had been looking toward. And they could look out, and I believe the Lord gives us parting grace when we leave this world. I believe He gives us the ability to have that final moment where we know that we're going to a better place. I believe that God grants that to people because I believe that their faith is ending. And you might say, well, that sounds kind of funny. Their faith is ending. Where they're going, faith's not needed anymore. Who's coming to get them? Who the person that they will see, the place that they'll be able to be next? Their faith has become sight. They have been absent from the heavenly body, but they've been in this body. But the Lord takes them out of this body and He puts them in their heavenly body. That faith that we have, it has a hope of a better day that's coming. While we work, while it's night, we must know that day is coming when work will no longer happen. Those people that have left this world, they died in the faith if they've been saved by the grace of God. Oh, and how sweet it is to know that a loved one has died and gone on to be with the Lord. I remember sitting around the bedside with my great-grandmother. She passed away, and she would sing those old songs. I remember singing, "When They Ring Those Golden Bells." Oh, I believe she could almost hear the bells ringing when the Lord was coming to get her and let her know that she was on her way to heaven, a place that she'd had faith in all of this time, all of her life, since she was 9 years old when the Lord saved her soul. She believed, she lived her life for the Lord. She fought for the old time way, and the Lord was finally rewarding her. Oh, someday this faith will end in our reward. What is that reward? Oh, it's a home eternal. It's a place where there's no more hurt. There's no more sickness. There's no more pain. There's no more sadness. We wake up from time to time down here and we just almost think there's no reason to even go on. Sometimes the Lord will put a mountain in front of us. And He says if we just have faith as a mustard seed, we can move that mountain. But you know what we'll say? Lord, would you move that mountain? We like to think the Lord will just take things out of our way. A lot of times we'll pray and we'll ask God, we'll say, Lord, I don't want that mountain in front of me anymore. I don't want to go through this anymore. Take it away from me. But you know what our prayer should be? Lord, don't move that mountain. Just give me strength to climb it. Give me strength to go through whatever it is that you want me to go through, Lord, but go with me. I need to have faith that you'll be with me through anything that you allow me to go through. But Lord, please don't leave me here alone. We need to have faith as a church. You know, sometimes it's just Janita brought this out. We get discouraged. We do. It's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to be upset and downtrodden and think, well, the Lord has just forgotten us. He hasn't forgotten one of us.
Amen.
He loves us just as much today as He did the day that He saved our soul. And He made a promise that He would go with us always. He tells us in the Great Commission that He would be with us always. He'd say something time, hard of time. I might be with the other mountain, and He said, I will be with you always. Sometimes I preached to you a few months ago about, Lord, thank you for this valley. I'm thankful for those valleys. Because you know what happens in those valleys? Our faith begins to grow. We sing a song at Pleasant Hill, and a few of our young people will sing a song, "Lord, don't move that mountain, just give me strength of mind. For if there were no mountains, I wouldn't even call on you." You know why God allows those things to happen to us? When we don't see an alternative, when we don't see a way out, when we don't see any hope, you know where we've gotten ourselves in a place where we need to fall down on our knees and say, "Lord, I need your help." But you know, we shouldn't have ever gotten to those places. But it's easy to do. Why? Because we're in his flesh. But you know what kind of God we serve? We serve one that loves us. We do. Oh, we serve a God that loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. And you know what? He loves us enough to take care of those situations. Now, he might not move that mountain. He might not take it right away from us. But you know what he will do? He'll be with us and he'll walk it right with us. Now, there's never been a place that I've ever been that God didn't deal with me. There's been some times I've taken places I shouldn't have taken. But you know what he's always been with me. And you know what I believe today more than I've ever believed it? And I believe that it'll be true, and I believe it'll be true for all eternity, because when I leave this world, I need to be with him in a way that I've never been able to. But he sent his spirit so that I know he's real, and I told you that I can feel him and I can feel him. If you can't feel him, you need to be on the software working out with him, because we serve a God that lets us know that he's real and that we can feel him. He sent his spirit into this world after he left because he knew that we would be comfortless. He knew that we would need somebody to lead us, guide us, and direct us, and he could not be here physically. But he sent his spirit. We serve a God that's three parts: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is with us today, leading, guiding, and directing in everything that we do. All we have to do, and it seems very small, and maybe it is sort of small this morning, but one of the greatest things that a person can have is faith. I've known people, and me and Brother Jeff were talking this morning. Brother Bobby, we were standing around, and I promise I'll close here in just a moment, but we were talking this morning as we were coming in church about people that always would say, "I'm fine," when you ask them how they were doing. And he was talking about someone that he knew, maybe an aunt that had cancer, and even at her darkest day, she would still say, "I'm fine. I'm okay." On our darkest days, and there's been times that I've met people that I knew they were struggling and they weren't having the very best of days and they weren't going through something that they really wanted to be going through, but you know what they'd always say? "I'm fine. I'm doing okay." That takes faith for someone to know that even in those moments that somebody is watching over them. I have often thought and I've often wondered and I've often said, people will ask how I'm doing. When I used to work at O'Reilly's, I would go in stores and I would be talking to them. They'd say, "Well, how are you doing today?" And I'd say, "Well, I'm better than I deserve." Because if I got truly what I deserve, and I guess a lot of people don't understand that, if I got what I truly deserved, I'd be in hell right now burning for all eternity. But I'm doing better than I deserve. Even at my worst day, I'm doing better than I deserve because I have the Lord with me. Not every day is going to be a good day. Not every day is going to be a bad day. We're going to have some good days in this life. I don't believe life is all doom and gloom and bad things. I don't. I believe that God allows us to have happiness. But now there are some bad days that come our way. And even in the good times, we have to have faith just as in the bad times, because God walks before us everywhere that we go. It talks about God being the author and finisher of our faith. He's already been where we've been. He's already been through it. He already knows. So let's have faith in him that when he says something's going to happen, when he lays something on our heart, when he gives us something to do, when he allows us to be a part of his church and his service, let's just have faith in him. Don't put your faith in me. Don't put your faith in other people. Put your faith in God, because he's the one that truly warrants all faith. For faith is the substance of things not seen. We can't see it this morning like I can feel this songbook. I can't see my faith. I can't feel it. I can't reach down in my soul and twist it around and play with it. Oh, but I know it's there. I know that God's there. My faith rests with him. May God bless you this morning. I told you that our thought was living by faith, and I believe that we should live by faith. If we don't live by anything else, we need to live by faith. Brother Colin, I'd like to ask if you get us a song. Let's